Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Got a great show for you guys today. Evan Roberts is going to join us here in moments. Talk everything New York sports teams. Obviously, we had the big Robert Saleh news yesterday. We got the Jets and Mets in action today. Going to talk about that with Evan. We're also going to talk some playoff baseball today. Opening day is probably my favorite day on the baseball calendar. I think this is the best day. Whenever we get four playoff games wall to wall all throughout the day, can't beat it. We'll go all through those games and give out some best bets. Also got to talk some college football and some NFL. Might be the best college football slate we get all regular season long. We'll dive into some picks that we like. Also talk about the other remaining games on the week six NFL slate. Kate Constable going to join us later on in the show for model making money as well. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, you can go to twitch.tv/BetQL. You can also go to YouTube/Odyssey Sports as well. Want you guys to be interactive. Let us know anything that's on your mind. We'll try and get to it over the next 30 minutes. And if you miss any part of the show, we got you covered as well with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk some playoff baseball. Glass is in session. We'll do a little playoff page to kick things off here on Send It In. And Guardians and Tigers get going in about 2 hours here. First pitch, 3:08 p.m. Eastern time. Alex Cobb going up against Keiter Montero for Detroit. I like the Tigers. Feels like the Tiger. I mean, they've been the hottest team in baseball the last 2 months. They're back at home. Detroit's going to be an electric atmosphere. Their pitching staff's been awesome throughout the postseason. Their bullpen's been very good. And the fact that they hit that three-run home run off Clase, maybe have gotten into his head a little bit, breaking through against that Cleveland bullpen. I'll take the Tigers today, -115, to get the win against the Guardians. Then we got the Phillies and the Mets. We talked about this game yesterday. I thought from the beginning this series was going five games. I thought whoever won game three yesterday, I thought the team that lost would bounce back today and win game four. I'm sticking with it. The Mets have been the better team in this series. Their offense has been way more explosive and way more consistent. Their pitching staff has been better as well. But I think the Phillies get the win today. I still like the Mets to win the series in five games, but I'll ride with the Phillies at -105 today. Yankees and Royals, big game three out in Kansas City. Feels like really a must-win for the Yankees. All the pressure is on them in this series. Royals with the chance to win tonight and put them on the brink of elimination in Game 4. Seth Lugo on the mound. He's been very good for Kansas City this season, going up against Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. It's pretty simple for the Yanks. I mean, they need their stars to play like stars. Aaron Judge, throughout his career in the postseason, has been a no-show. They're going to need for that to change today. Bobby Witt has also been a no-show in this series for the Royals. For their offense to put up the numbers that they have without Bobby Witt has been pretty impressive. I do like the over eight in this game. Usually don't see too many eights in the postseason, especially as we get farther along in October, but I think both offenses are able to score in this one, so I like the over. I also like the Royals to get the win today at -105. And then finally, I think the Padres are the best team in baseball. I like them to win again today at -135. Dylan Cease is on the mound for the Padres. He matched up against the Dodgers in game one of this series. It's pretty telling that the Dodgers spent $1 billion this offseason and yet they don't have a starter for game four of a playoff series. I think the Padres line up better top to bottom. I think their pitching staff is better. Their bullpen's been great. I think San Diego advances to the NLCS. So we arrive with the Padres today at -135 against the Dodgers. That's what we got in playoff baseball. We'll talk a little playoff baseball with our guest, Evan Roberts, who joins us now on the Glasser guest line. Also got to get into the New York Jets as well. Give Evan a follow on X at Evan Roberts, WFAN afternoon host on WFAN with Tiki Barber. Evan, really appreciate you joining the show. Let's start with the Jets, man. I mean, that was some big news that dropped yesterday, obviously, with Robert Saleh getting fired. How surprised were you that the Jets decided to fire Saleh yesterday?
I'm surprised because I forgot for a little bit that the Jets are an incompetent joke of a franchise. Sometimes as a fan, you forget about that, and you think that they're actually well-run and they actually know what the hell they're doing. And don't take that as a defense of Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh's a terrible head coach. The problem is you're 5 weeks into a season. The biggest problem with the team is the freaking offense. And so you decide to fire the head coach right now and try to attempt to make NFL history and actually fire your coach, have an interim coach, and still live up to expectations of at the least be a playoff team. So I'm surprised. I shouldn't be. I didn't love it. I'm going to have to accept it because I'm a Jet fan and I got to hope for the best. But it is very typical of the freaking New York Jets. That's who we are.
Yeah, what do you make of the game this upcoming Monday night against the Bills, Evan? Because I think a lot of people now, usually in sports, when a team like fires their coach, their manager, whatever it may be, usually love backing that team in that upcoming game. It feels like a lot of people now like the Jets in this spot on Monday night against the Bills. Are you one of those people? Do you like the Jets against Buffalo on Monday?
You know, first of all, as a Jet fan, this is the biggest game they've played in a decade. I mean, I'll start off by telling you that right now. They have not played a football game as significant as the one they're playing Monday. Despite the crap of the last 2 weeks, they're still a win away from being in first place. I think after the London loss, it was very tough to have any kind of positivity. It's not that I think firing Saleh and promoting Jeff Ulbrich is going to lead to victory. I think watching Buffalo and seeing the issues they're running with and the fact that Josh Allen is not healthy, the fact that Jets have actually done a very good job against Josh Allen over the last couple of years gives me hope that this defense will continue to do work. The question is this offense going to finally show up? Is it going to finally start to click? Look at the last 2 weeks. Their defense has played well enough to win. So it's very difficult after the last few weeks and what happened yesterday to say I'm confident they're going to win, but clearly they can and they freaking better because this offense needs to turn it around. It's like if you close your eyes, you've been watching the Zach Wilson offense the last 3 weeks, and that crap is unacceptable, and it's got to change now.
That was going to be my next question, Evan, right? Is I got Breece Hall on my fantasy team, and he had a great week one, and he really hasn't been a no-show since. Rodgers threw the ball 54 times last week, as you know. They only ran it 9 times with Breece, 5 times with Braylon Allen. Jets might have, like, the best 1-2 running back punch in football, but it doesn't feel like they use him as much as they should. Do you think they're going to put an emphasis on that this week with the Saleh change? Like, do you think they're going to talk about that at all this week? How do you expect that offense to look?
Well, there's one big decision that's going to have to be made. Jeff Ulbrich even said he's going to look at everything, and that is who's the play caller? Is it going to be Nate Hackett? Is it going to be Todd Downing? I think if we see a change towards Downing, I think you will see more emphasis on running the football. But in the defense of Hackett, they've tried to run the ball earlier this season. They couldn't. Breece Hall was doing nothing on the ground. It's not all on him. A lot of it is the run blocking of this offensive line. A lot of it is Olu Fashanu, the first-round pick, has not looked great the first 2 weeks after stepping in for injury. So they've tried to run the ball. It's just been very ineffective. But I think that decision on who the play caller is going to be, whether it's Downing or they're sticking with Hackett, I think will tell us a lot going into Monday.
If you had to make a prediction right now, Evan, for who wins the AFC East for the rest of the season, would you take the Jets or would you take the Bills?
How could I take the Jets unless I just wanted to be a homer? Unless I just wanted to believe, you know, the Mets are playing well, I'm inspired by them. It would take such a leap of faith to think that they're going to be the first team ever. Like, literally, what other team in the history of football, this is not baseball, this is not basketball, fires their coach this early in a season, and then with an interim, leads themselves to the playoffs. It freaking never happens. So, no, I would not, if you asked me, hey, what do you really think is going to happen? The Bills probably win the AFC East, as depressing as that is.
Yeah, they're big favorites right now to do so at minus 250, the Jets plus 300 if you like them to win the division. Evan, you brought up the Mets. They have a chance to move on to the NLCS with a win today against the Phillies. What's the vibe in New York been like with this team? This is just one of those special seasons where early on it looked like it was going to be a complete and utter disaster. Even midway through the season, they were just trying to get through. Obviously had to win one of those 2 games in Atlanta. Alonso hits the home run against Milwaukee. Some more heroics in this series against Philadelphia. Like, what has the city, what have they made of this team, and do they feel like there's something special brewing there?
There is a vibe with the Mets I have not seen in a very long time. There is a confidence that Met fans have. Like, it's almost an expectation that they're advancing and they're beating the Philadelphia Phillies. But I think it's taken a while because you pointed it out. They didn't have a great offseason, or at least a highly anticipated offseason. They got off to a very bad start. They were 0-5. Then they turned their season around, and then they went back into the crapper where they were 11 games under 500. And even though they've been great, they've been the best team in baseball since early June, it's taken a while for this city to believe. But I think that Monday makeup game against the Atlanta Braves, game 161, really brought the city into believing. And then you combine that with what you said in the Milwaukee series, the Alonso dramatic home run in game 3. There is a confidence amongst Met fans that I don't know if I've ever seen. And that includes 2015 when they went to the World Series. They've taken over the town. Trust me, there's plenty of Yankee fans, but the Yankee fan vibes are very different right now. There is a great enthusiasm about what the Mets are doing.
You think they get the job done today, or you think they close it out in Philadelphia on Friday?
Here's why, and I'm surprised for my fellow Met fan, why they should not expect to get the job done today. That's not what the Mets have done this year. Right. They make everything dramatic. Nothing is easy, whether it's making the playoffs, whether it's the Milwaukee series when they did have a lead with a chance to close it out in two straight. Like, that's not who they are. Like, if they're going to follow the script of the 2024 New York Mets, they're going to do what you even suggested. They'll lose game 4 at Citi Field. They'll go into the tough environment at game 5. They'll probably be losing that game. And then they'll come back late and beat the Phillies and send them home. That's basically been the story of the 2024 New York Mets.
I completely agree with you. And that's why I like the Phillies today and I like the Mets on Friday. You bring up the Yankees, Evan, and you talked about how different the vibes are around both New York baseball teams. How are fans feeling going into this game 3 tonight against Kansas City?
I don't think Yankee fans necessarily think they're going to lose to Kansas City, but I think when you look at the first two games and you look at Carlos Rodon getting off to a great start, then collapsing, Aaron Judge has not been impactful, Giancarlo Stanton can't run, I think Yankee fans are kind of getting that same old vibe from this team, the same old vibe of, here we go, we're in October and we're not going to hit. So it's not as if I think Yankee fans think they're going to lose to Kansas City, but there is such pressure on them to get to a World Series, especially with the way the American League looks right now, with Kansas City, Detroit, even Cleveland, that I think that's probably weighing on them. I think most Yankee fans think they'll beat Kansas City, but I think most of them feel at some point the lack of hitting and the lack of getting production out of Aaron Judge will eventually come back and bite them.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. Evan Roberts joining us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Evan Roberts, WFAN, afternoon host on WFAN with Tiki Barber. Evan, always appreciate the time, man. Great meeting you, and enjoy all the sports tonight. Catch up again soon.
Thank you. LGM, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Mets and Phillies get going in about 4 hours or so, 5 p.m. Eastern time. First pitch. We got a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Speaking of playoff baseball, BetMGM Sportsbook, they're offering a shot at $50,000 jackpot. Just opt in and place a $10 straight bet on any MLB player to hit a home run. If your player's home run lands in a team's bullpen, you win a share of the prize. Bonus bets expire in 7 days, and the offer runs every day, Monday through Sunday. Head to BetMGM Sportsbook now to opt in and get your chance at a $50,000 win. All right, folks, let's talk some football now. Little gridiron glasses. We look ahead to week 6 in the NFL. We talked about half of the slate yesterday. We'll dive into 6 more of the games today. A lot of games that I'm going to talk about that I really like for this upcoming Sunday and also that Monday night game between the Bills and the Jets. We'll start in Denver with the Chargers as 3-point favorites against the Denver Broncos. This total continues to drop. It's at 35.5. This is going to be a 4:05 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. Chargers minus 165 on the money line. Denver Broncos plus 140. Well, Denver, after an 0-2 start, has just been red hot. They've won 3 straight games, two wins as big underdogs against the Jets and the Bucks. Then they absolutely blow out the Raiders on Sunday. They get the Chargers off of a bye, though. LA, who's obviously been playing some good football, and I think they're going to be a lot healthier for this game. Remember, against the Chiefs, knowing that they had the bye week upcoming, Joe Alt didn't play, Rashawn Slater didn't play, Herbert was really banged up, Derwin James was suspended for that game. It's looking like that there's a chance that both Slater and Alt play. James is going to be back from his suspension. Obviously, Herbert gets the 2 weeks of rest. So I would understand if people out there don't want to bet this Chargers game until you know what the injury report is looking like. But I think the fact that this line opened at 1.5 and now it's up to 3, it's telling me that more and more it's looking like the Chargers are going to be pretty healthy for this game. If they are, I like them in this matchup. I think they're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. Bo Nix, even though the Broncos are on a 3-game win streak, like, he still is struggling a little bit. Certainly is having his ups and downs throughout the season. So I like LA minus 3 in that game. I also like the Steelers -3 against the Raiders in Vegas as well with a total of 36.5. I don't care if it's Gardner Minshew or if it's Aiden O'Connell, who's ever starting for Vegas going up against that Steelers defense, I think is going to be an absolute nightmare. We'll see what the Steelers end up doing at quarterback, whether it's Justin Fields or whether it's Russell Wilson. I would prefer it being Fields for me betting Steelers -3. Either way, though, I think they cover this number. Steelers coming off a brutal home loss like that to Dallas, where they give up a go-ahead touchdown in the final 30 seconds, fly across the country. They were 3-0. Now they're 3-2. The Ravens have overtaken them for that top spot in the AFC North Division. I like the Steelers here, -3. A lot of favorites that I like this week. Give me the Lions, -3 as well, against Dallas. Much like the Chargers, the Lions are a team coming off a bye, going on the road, that are favorites. You tend to like those certain spots, and the Lions have been waiting for this rematch with Dallas for a long, long time. If you guys remember that Saturday night game that we had in towards the end of the season last year between Dallas and Detroit, which determined who the 2 seed was going to be in the playoffs, you had that 2-point conversion call where Dan Skipper of the Lions told the ref that he was eligible. We all saw it. The replays proved that he did. The referees didn't say he was. Lions end up losing the game because of that. If you ever watch a Lions game when they're at home and Dan Skipper checks into the game and reports eligible, the fans always do a mock cheer, and it's because of this game against Dallas. So the fans, the players have been waiting for this game. That Lions offense finally got rolling against Seattle on Monday night a couple weeks ago. Now they get a bye week. Dallas is off a physical game against the Steelers. They've had a tough stretch the last 3 weeks, right? Got to play the Ravens, who are 0-2, needing a win. Divisional game against the Giants on a short week. Then a physical game against Dallas. Now you got to play Detroit off of a bye. I'll take the Lions -3. I also like Carolina Panthers +6 against the Atlanta Falcons. Might be one of my favorite bets of the week. I just think it is a brutal spot for Atlanta. I think it's a great spot to fade them in this game. Think about the Falcons' schedule over the last 4 weeks. They've had 3 primetime games. They had to play the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bucks. Not only do they have to play all 3 of those teams in primetime, games that you're really amped for, games that you really get up for, but all those games were incredible emotional swings. Eagles game, they had an incredible comeback. The Chiefs game, they were inside the 10 with a chance to win. And then, of course, against the Bucks, they win that game in overtime. They also had the divisional game against New Orleans sandwiched in between there, where Koo hit a 58-yard field goal to win it. So they've had 4 straight weeks, primetime games, emotional games, high up and down swings. Now you're 6-point favorites on the road in a divisional game against the Panthers. These divisional dogs have been really good, especially as big underdogs. So I'll take the Panthers +6. I'd take some money line as well. I think there's a chance that Carolina could win that game on Sunday. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals -3.5 on Sunday night against the Giants. Bengals are 1-4, probably the most disappointing team in football so far this season. But when you really look at who the Bengals have lost to this season and the quarterbacks that they've lost to, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, all of those games were decided by 5 points or less. It's not like Cincinnati is losing to bottom feeders in the NFL, and it's not like they're getting blown out. They're right in these games with teams. They just can't find a way to win it. Yes, they lost to New England in week 1. That loss is inexplicable. But outside of that, 3 really good quarterbacks, and all those games were very, very close. Now they go up against Daniel Jones and the Giants in an absolutely must win for Cincinnati. It feels like we've been saying that for the last 4 weeks. You go 1-5, though, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. The schedule does get easier for Cincinnati. I think they can get on a roll a little bit. I think it starts on Sunday night with the Giants. I'll take the Bengals -3.5. Then this Monday night game between the Bills and the Jets is going to be really interesting. Feels like a lot of people are going to like the Jets now because they fired Saleh. And just across all sports, whenever a coach, manager, whatever it may be, gets fired, teams tend to get an emotional lift off that. It's not a bet that I love. I'm hoping this goes back up to 3, but I am leaning towards the Jets plus the 2.5 against Buffalo. If it does get back up to 3, certainly would like the Jets in that game. All right, let's talk some college football here on Send It In. I see we got some questions coming in on the chat. Our guy B Mills, PJ, found the Royals team total over 2.5 in the first 7 innings tonight at -135. What do you think? Really like that play. Like the over in that game tonight, B Mills. Over 8 between the Yankees and the Royals. do think Kansas City is going to score some runs tonight. So over 2.5 for the first seven. Like that quite a bit. And then not sure how familiar you are with the MAC yet, Peach. I took the over 57.5 in Ball State and Kent State on Saturday. Two of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life. Midweek MAC and B Mills, right? Some of these games tend to be shootouts. You are right. These two teams do have bad defenses. I think that's a good look. I like the over in Ball State and Kent State. Another over that I like for Saturday's slate in college football is going to be the over in Boise State and Hawaii at 60.5. So Boise State, obviously the big story surrounding them is that they currently have the Heisman Trophy favorite right now in their running back, Ashton Gentry. All the games that they play in are shootouts. In five games this year, Boise scored 34 points or more in all five of those games. They've scored 56 points or more in three of those games. And in their two road games, they've given up 37 points and 45 points. So Boise's got an elite offense with the best running back in college football, and their defense is not very good. They're at Hawaii. Hawaii's got a run-and-shoot offense. They want to throw the ball all over the yard. They can put up points as well. I just think 60.5 is too low. So I'll take the over in Boise State and Hawaii. Give me an under in Washington and Iowa at 42.5. Guys, if we're getting a total of over 40 in an Iowa game and they're not going up against like an Ohio State, an Oregon, a top premier offense, I'm going to take that under. Washington's also coming off of a huge win against Michigan. Now they got to travel from Seattle all the way to Iowa City. Iowa's defense is still good this year. The offense is more improved, but I don't see them scoring 30 points in this game. I like Iowa in the game. It feels like they're going to win like a 20-14 kind of game somewhere in that neighborhood. Rutgers mucked it up against Washington. I could see Iowa mucking it up against Washington as well. So I will take the under 42.5 in Iowa and Washington. The favorite that I like the best this week is going to be Tennessee minus 15.5 against Florida. Now, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're obviously very happy because the Vols are playing in Knoxville and not in the Swamp. Tennessee's only won twice in the last 50 years in Gainesville. Florida absolutely dominates this series, but because it's in Knoxville, this is a much different story. You got Tennessee coming off of a loss against Arkansas, Bama on deck next week. And Nico and this Tennessee offense has not been making very many explosive plays through the air. They're one of the best running teams in college football, but I think they're going to be able to make some plays through the air in this game. Miami was able to do it. Texas A&M was able to do it. Mississippi State was able to do it against Florida. The Gators do not have a very good offense. You combine that with the fact that Tennessee's got one of the best defensive front fours in college football. I think they're going to get after Florida. I think after that loss, they want to set the tone. They want to play the right way heading into the Bama game. I like Tennessee minus 15.5. Underdog that I really like for Saturday is going to be in the Red River rivalry. We're taking Oklahoma plus 14.5 against Texas. Nine of the last 11 meetings between OU and Texas have been decided by 8 points or less. All these games tend to be pretty close. I talked about this yesterday too. It always feels like when we get to the Red River game, there's always one team that's trending up and there's one team that's trending down. Obviously, Texas is trending up this season. They're undefeated. They're the number one team in the country. Oklahoma is trending down. They have lost a game this season. Their offense is a complete and utter mess, but they did have a bye week. And Michael Hawkins has done some good things for Oklahoma at the end of that Tennessee game, in the Auburn game as well. Now he had a bye week, more reps to get under his belt. Texas has Georgia on deck, right? So maybe they use some of that bye week to look ahead to Georgia just a little bit, while Oklahoma, this is obviously their Super Bowl going up against their rival with a chance to knock out the number one team in the country. Just feels like a lot of points in a neutral site game at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas when this rivalry game is always tight. I'll take the Sooners plus the points. And then finally, an outright winner that I like for Saturday. Give me West Virginia plus 130 against Iowa State. Iowa State's undefeated this year. They're the number 11 team in the country. They're 2-0 in Big 12 play. So is West Virginia. This is a massive game in the Big 12. Morgantown is one of those places at night that's really difficult to play. West Virginia was very good in Big 12 play last year. I think they match up very well with Iowa State. Pretty telling that this line was 3.5. Now it's down to 2.5 at some shops. It's plus 3 at BetMGM. I would certainly grab that. I think WVU wins the game outright. I'll take the Mountaineers plus 130. All right, let's go to model making money now. Check in with Kate Constable joining us here on a Wednesday. A lot to get to. We got the WNBA finals starting tomorrow night. Get Kate's thoughts on that one. But Kate, what does the BetQL model like? Is there a five-star play for today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, the model in Major League Baseball today. We have Phillies and Mets. It likes the Phillies first five on the money line. Obviously, this is one that the Phillies need if they want to keep their season alive. Jose Quintana going up today against Ranger Suarez. So Suarez is pitching for the Phillies. The model likes the Phillies on the first five. And it does like the model. The model does like the Phillies full game money line as well, but that's only a three-star play. So a little downgraded for the full game play there.
I love it. All right, Kate, WNBA Finals. And I don't think a lot of people saw this matchup coming at the beginning of the year. Certainly, we thought we were getting a rematch with the Aces and the Liberty, but we got the Lynx and the Liberty this season. The Liberty are favored by 5.5 points in game one. They're favored to win the WNBA Finals. What are your thoughts on game one and the series as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, the Lynx have just turned their, not turned their year around because they started really hot, but from last season to this season, a drastic change. I loved Minnesota. That they've been kind of my long shot pick to win the title. After seeing the way the Liberty dismantled the Aces, they're just in peak form right now. But I'm not sure if I had to go in right now and bet anything, I'm not sure I could take the Lynx because the Liberty are playing so well and they are so deep. I do like the Liberty in this first game. They're going to have a little bit of a rest advantage over Minnesota, whose series against the Sun went five games. In terms of how to bet this series as a whole, maybe you look for a Liberty to win three games to one, bet the series price in that sense. I think this has the ability to go possibly five games just because Cheryl Reith for Minnesota is such a good coach. She has championship coaching experience. She's been in these moments before. Another way you could bet this is if you like Minnesota, instead of betting them at plus 220 to win the series, you can bet them at a better number around plus 240 or even greater other places for Nafisa Collier to win MVP. Because if Minnesota does win the series, it's going to be because Nafisa Collier has a massive series and therefore will likely be the MVP. So do some shopping in that sense and see if you can take different, you know, smaller markets or obscure markets. Not that MVP is obscure, but a little bit different than just a series price. And you might get a better price there.
Love that angle. All right, looking at Collier for MVP. If you like the Lynx to win the WNBA Finals. Kate, we got an unreal slate in college football coming up Saturday. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, LSU. Good game after good game. Anything that you like for the Saturday slate?
Yeah, I'm going to go with one you didn't mention, PJ. USC. I'm going to take the points. I believe it's still around plus five for the Trojans. They're hosting Penn State. So Penn State having to travel across the country, just a tough travel spot to begin with there. And then, I mean, USC just lost to Minnesota. So yes, they're traveling back too, but this has got to be a bounce back for them. USC has been good at home this year. Their only two losses have come on the road. And Penn State's wins really have not been all that convincing. They barely got past Bowling Green earlier this year. Slow again against UCLA. They've had these slow starts and allow teams to stick in the game there, and then they pull ahead in the second half. I don't think that's going to happen against USC because USC turns things up a notch in the second half. They've outscored opponents 87-23, and six of Miller Moss's eight touchdowns have all come in the second half. So if Penn State allows USC to hang around early and keep this game close at half, I think the Trojans run away with it in the second half and can easily cover that 5.5.
Love it. That's my best bet of the week. I gave it out on Monday. I'm right there with you. I think USC wins that game outright. I really do. So I'm with you there, Kate. Love the Trojans on Saturday. Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Great stuff. College football, WNBA as well. Kate, enjoy all the playoff baseball today. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis of spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, a minute left to go. So we give out our favorite plays of the day. Going streak, and give me Fernando Tatis Jr. to get a base hit for the Padres today. I mean, how electric has he been? Has the Padres been? Their bats are on fire. Tatis has been the catalyst for it. We'll take Tatis, get a base hit today in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Bobby Witt over 1.5 total bases today for the Royals at plus 105. Bobby Witt has done nothing in this series against the Yankees. I do not expect that to continue. Great great price, plus 105 for Bobby to just get two total bases. We will take that as our prop lock. Dog of the day, Evan is so right. You know the Mets aren't going to make this easy on their fans. They're just not going to do it. That's not the way the Mets do things. I think they close it out in Game 5 in Philadelphia on Friday, but give me the Phillies today to send it to Game 5. And then my best bet, give me the Royals, minus 105 against the Yankees. Just looks so easy for the Yankees, right? The Astros are out of the playoffs. The Orioles are out of the playoffs. You got three AL Central teams. Playoff baseball, when it looks easy, it never is. Give me the Royals, minus 105 to win Game 3 tonight against the Yankees. Thanks again to Evan Roberts, Kate Constable. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for the questions. We will see you tomorrow. Cole Thompson joins us on Send It In.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.